Welcome to the Uncomfortable Truth podcast, hosted by the rock star of consulting, Alan Weiss. Be prepared to have your beliefs challenged and your behaviors questioned.
Welcome back to the Uncomfortable Truth, and this episode is called Electric. Now, before I begin on my real subject here about electric cars, let me give you some facts, okay? So, for example, in medical dramas, on TV, in the movies, about two-thirds of patients, 66%, who are administered CPR, survive long enough to be discharged from the hospital. In reality, depending upon the circumstances, CPR has a success rate of between 2% and 18%. It's vastly overrated in fiction. Frank Sinatra's death happened to coincide with the Seinfeld series finale. Sinatra's ambulance was able to arrive at his house and then to the hospital quickly because of low traffic, unusual for Los Angeles, because everyone was inside watching the final of the Seinfeld show. Cole Porter, who's exceptional, along with Irving Berlin, one of the few composers of the Great American Songbook, who wrote both music and lyrics, supposedly wrote, they say, at long last love. He wrote some song, they think it was at long last love, waiting to be rescued after his legs were crushed when his horse fell on him during a riding accident. He had over 50 operations later on his legs, and eventually, just before his death, his legs were amputated. Now, these are facts that I'm reading you. I will give you some other facts right now about electric cars and that whole process. Apple, famously, after investing several $1 billion, that's a B, has stopped all work on electric cars. They were going to rival Tesla. They've decided it's just not for them. And of course, this isn't unusual with big investments. The state of California invested, I don't know, 10 or 12 years and $2 or $3 billion on a high-speed train, between San Francisco and Los Angeles, and had to give it up. They couldn't make it work. Ford has withdrawn from a large-scale electric project. There are dangers in lithium batteries, in mining what's needed for them. Highly polluting, highly dangerous. And there's a huge problem in disposing of them, and there'll have to be gabillions of them disposed. There are fire dangers with lithium, and although some people don't want to admit this, many fire departments across the country, including the one locally here in Providence, have said publicly that once they make sure that lives are safe, they let lithium fires burn out because it's easier than trying to combat them. Toyota, of course, one of the largest car manufacturers in the world, and a company very, very smart in terms of strategy, has decided they're going to go to hybrids only and solely. Hertz just is trying to sell back 1,000 electric cars purchased from Tesla for its rentals fleet because there's not a big demand for them and they're too expensive to maintain. It is said that by 2030, which is 7 years from now, and by the way, when there will be more people over 65 in the United States than there will be children, a ratio, a dynamic never before seen in this country, but by 2023, what is now 6 years, right? We've started 2024. We will have about 500,000 charging stations across the U.S. Now, that's if you believe the projections, which are notoriously overrated. But even taking that to be so, to power this entire country with an electric grid for cars, from Alaska to Nebraska to Florida, from Maine to Illinois to New Mexico, is estimated we'll need 28 million chargers, not 500,000, 28 million. And of course, electric energy is produced by fossil fuels, and these plants are belching smoke and all kinds of crap into the atmosphere. So I don't think that electric cars even represent a positive step in eliminating pollutants. I don't even think they're carbon neutral. Now that's me. But I'll tell you something from what I've observed. As a people, as a culture, we tend to jump on bandwagons. Instead of being Paul Revere, we tend to be Chicken Little. And we cry panic. Remember Y2K. Electronics were going to stop. TV shows, movies, computers would all fail. Airplanes would fall out of the sky. And of course, none of that happened. There was some work done behind the scenes to make sure that clocks and various timing mechanisms caught up with the strangeness of turning into a new millennium. But nonetheless, Y2K generated a lot more heat than it did light. And what we look at today with people is this need to jump on a climate bandwagon. I don't disagree that we're going through climate change. It's a rather natural thing that happens throughout history. And I don't disagree that it's causing some damage in terms of crops and lives and other things. But I think we have to be in contingent action and not kid ourselves that we can prevent it. In other words, we should stop allowing people to build houses right on a shoreline that's going to erode and then insuring the houses. We should prohibit building or at least forbid them being insured. So if you suffer a loss, it's yours, not everyone else's. I think we should do the same with houses being built in forests and places that likely will have fires. There have been forest fires for millennia, and many authorities feel they're actually important because they provide new growth for the forest, and trying to put them all out is not the best thing in the world to do. However, I digress somewhat. And what I'm talking about is our propensity to jump on trends, to see ourselves as enlightened, to try to do things with great hubris that we really can't do. You know, a clerk in a hardware store where I've got 12 items on the counter asks me if I want a bag. And I tell them no, I'll juggle the items on my way home. And the clerk simply stares at me. I like it when people are picking up dog waste. I think that's important to do, however, with plastic bags. I don't think they clean these things out and reuse them. Now the big deal is straws, plastic straws. Now, no doubt they're harmful for the environment if they get in the oceans with a whole bunch of other plastic. But we've got police forces now trying to make sure that coffee shops and restaurants and drive-thrus and so forth aren't handing out plastic straws. It's not working. They're still being offered. The fines aren't scaring anyone, and the fines are stupid. In Providence, you have a paramilitary force looking through recycling bins, not to make sure there's no garbage in there, only recyclables, but to make sure the right recyclables are in that bin as compared to the next bin and the bin after that. If not, there are warning stickers and after that, fines. Where does all of this go? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that our problems here are an open border in the South where we've got massive immigration and a lot of Latin America trying to get on the American welfare system. That can't be. We need immigration. We're a country of immigrants. And with our demographics changing, where morbidity is outpacing fertility, we certainly need immigrants, white collar and blue collar and plaid collar and any other collar. However, we have to control who comes in here. I don't think we want cartel members. I don't think we want criminals. In addition, we need a school system that teaches kids how to read and write, that teaches kids how to learn. Every kid who's not treated with equal opportunity in a public school is a potential future social liability. Crime, homelessness, poverty, drugs, you name it. Why would we want to subject kids to this? And why would we want to penalize society with this kind of misfortune? Because we're looking to do other things like look in trash containers instead of trying to look into our schools. And so, I've driven electric cars. Meh. They're okay. What's his name? Musk is trying to come out with a sports version now, a roadster, that he claims will go from 0 to 60, I don't know, in under a second. That's not going to happen. And since it's Musk, I suspect there'll be some problems with it. The Chinese, too, are working on a sports electric that's going to cost approximately $230,000, which is up there. But given the Chinese, I suspect it's going to break down regularly and probably have plastic pedals for the gas and the brake. And so, I think that we're going to see a combination of vehicles on the road in the future. Some will be what we're now calling what? ICE, internal combustion engines, and some will be electric. I would hope to hell some of them are going to be hydrogen, which if we can control better, I think is a much cleaner fuel and has a lot more promise. I think the United States needs to be energy independent. We need to pump oil and gas. And telling people they can't have gas stoves or gas leaf blowers is neither here nor there. In fact, they just found that gas stoves don't put off the pollutants that someone thought they did. Wow. Remember when you couldn't eat red meat? Remember when you couldn't do this and couldn't do that? You know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And the same applies to everybody trying to do good. So there'll be electric cars around, maybe propane buses, I don't know, hydrogen cars. But there's going to be some combination of vehicles. And of course, when you boil it all away, if you look at Boston or Miami or San Francisco or Dallas, and you look at a gabillion cars commuting every day, I don't care if you make every one electric, you still have a gabillion cars. And we still have a border problem, and we still have an education problem unless we do something about it. So, you want to put a charger in your garage? Go right ahead. You want to buy purely electric? That, of course, is your freedom of choice. But I don't think that's the future. Unless you consider a bandwagon heading downhill at 100 miles an hour without brakes, the future.
You've been listening to The Uncomfortable Truth with Alan Weiss. For free access to Alan's newsletters, audio and video resources, and for information about his global events and coaching communities, please visit alanweiss.com. Thanks for listening. Keep the faith.